He was part Socrates, part Gomer Pyle, part Rambo, part Mr. Rogers, part Mr. Clean, part Mrs. Butterworth, part JFK, part Shirley Jones. All of these, and yet not any of these. He was known to many, yet no one knew who he was. He kept his adhesive bandages on until they fell off by themselves, usually in the shower. It was better than ripping those little hairs off his arm. He was made of wood. He could smell tattoos, and his favorite film was Birth of a Nation, even though he'd never seen it. He was Biff, a shadow of a man who recited on the West Coast, one ear cocked toward the ever-present rumbling threat of devastation by earthquake, and who, as he checked out customers' groceries, had this to say upon reflection of people in general.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not like I always felt that way about people. It's like when I first got here, this grocery store that I work for, I don't want to say the name, but we'll just call it Delta Gamma, okay? And I think when I started there, I thought, you know, oh, it's just going to be another grocery store. I'm going to stand in the check stand. I'm going to check out groceries for people. They're going to pay me the money. They're going to go home. They're going to cook their fucking food. They're going to eat it there. I'm performing some sort of service. It's a service job. Put on my little bow tie, go in, smile, collect my pay, go home. That's basically what I felt was going to happen. But it was more to it. There was this like psychic unwinding that started to happen over a period of time as I got to see what California was all about and witness the type of people that lived in the neighborhood where my grocery store was and the parasites that these for lack of a better term, the vermin truly were. I left for a while. I worked there for about like 5 years. I come back and people are coming in saying, hey, we haven't seen you. Where you been? Oh, I went back to Arizona for a year, but I'm back. And they'd be like, well, that's great. It's good to see you again. You're fat, though. You're fat. You put on a lot of weight. There was this guy who used to come in. His name was Mr. Biswas and his wife, you know, and they had this little bug-eyed Holocaust victim baby, you know, and it's like I'd always be, oh, your baby's so cute. Perhaps nourishment might be a good idea, you know. Come in and they'd look me up and they'd say, hello, Chipper, it's so good to see you again. We miss you. Where you been for last year? Oh, well, I was over in Arizona. I'm back now. Oh, it's good to see you. You're balder now. You're balder, though. You have no more hair. And look how fat you are. Honey, look, Chippy's gotten fat since he's been gone. You know, like, great. Well, you sure haven't fucking mastered the language yet either. You're still speaking in an accent. And that's another thing. There's nobody speaks English. Most of the people in the neighborhood of the store I work for, like 90% of them, are from another land, and they don't speak English. They come through, they hand you their WIC checks, their food stamps, their welfare. They stand there with all this government money in their hand, buy your tax dollars, buying their Cheez-Its and Pepsi. And it's like, excuse me, you have any coupons today? Yes, see. Would you like a carrot? Yes, see. Would you like kerosene on your head? Yes, see, please. Would you like a barbecue skewer in your eye? Oh, sir, thank you, see. And it's like, you know, where the fuck you come to this fucking country, you know your way to the fucking welfare office, go to a fucking bookstore and buy a book and learn how to speak this fucking language. There should be a sign at the airport that says, if you can't speak the language, get the fuck out of this fucking country. But that's not the way these people look at it, man. They come over here, and they got it easy. These people don't even fucking know the language. Their children are standing there. My mother wants to know where baking soda is. My mother wants to know if you keep this item in stock. My mother went, well, tell your mother to learn the fucking language! Crying fucking out loud. She's handing me food stamps, which my tax dollars are putting food on her table that I can't afford to buy for my own fucking family. I would make more money if I quit my job and sat on my fat ass watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and letting Uncle Sam buy my fucking groceries. And they fucking don't even... And it's like, you know, I'm not a racist. I'd want to say that again, but, you know, some of these people out here really want to bring a bad name to their race. I'm telling you now, most every single fucking liquor store or a little deli mart or stop-and-go shop out here are owned by Asian Americans, as they like to be called. Every fucking gas station is owned by Armenians. Every fucking video rental store is owned by Armenians. These people don't... Hello, do you have RoboCop? RoboCop! RoboCop! You don't know if we have RoboCop? It's like, fucking good Christ almighty. I was at a gas station today. The guy wouldn't turn the pump on in time. I set the nozzle on the ground, went and banged on the bulletproof glass. Hey, excuse me, would you turn my pump on, please? Got my kids in the car, hurry up. He comes running out, this Asian guy. His father, a little wisp of a concentration camp survivor guy coming out behind him. And they're coming out like, you throw my nozzle on the ground! This is what the type of people you do... $150 every week because you destroy these gas nozzles. Look at this. Oh, it's loose. It's loose. You loosened my gas nozzle. I'm like, hey, give me a break, dude. He's spitting in my face. He's yelling at me. I said, you know, your family comes over here. You open up your business and you treat customers like this. Oh, so that's what it is, huh? You're a racist. Oh, I see it now. You are a racist. I'm like, no, I'm not a racist. I just am someone who fucking knows the language and earns a dollar. I'm nice to people. I give them the money's worth. I don't sit there and say, you know, yeah, it's my 7-Eleven. If I went to charge fucking $2 for Hostess Cupcake. I charge $2 for Hostess Cupcake. Get away from my slippy machine. It's a fucking pit. And my boss, my God, he, you know, it's like, he's a stickler. It's like, if I do every single thing right, and I come in the next day,
you didn't clip your 20s with the paper clip over the F in federal. How many times have I told you that? Come into my office. I have an hour lecture on this. Punch this into my computer. I'm not forgetting this one. I want a sense of urgency around here, Chip. I don't see a sense of urgency. When you came back from Arizona crawling on your hands and knees begging for me to rehire you, I did so, and now this is how you treat me? Oh, man, he's using these war terminology all the time. You've got to get down there and clean up aisle number 4. We're a battleship sinking fast. We've been hit by 2 torpedoes, and our flank is on fire. Like, you've never even been in the fucking service. Why don't you just say that you want aisle 4 cleaned up and leave it at that? I don't know. And the shoplifters, the fucking shoplifters. Oh, God, I'm 8-year-old girls. I bought this notebook today and this morning. I want my money back. Let me see your receipt. Gallon milk. Yeah, it looks like the receipt for that notebook there. Yeah, you get the fuck out of this store, you fucking little girl. Go back to your fucking home and teach your fucking Armenian mother how to speak fucking English. Jesus Christ. People come through and it's like, you know, they ring up $110 worth of groceries and they hand you a check from Montana, you know. Do you have a driver's license? Oh, no, but I got a brain donor card. Yeah, well, fucking, I think it's a little too late for that, thank you. What do you mean? I can cash my checks anywhere else without a driver's license or a major credit card or check guarantee card. How come you people are different? Yeah, because you people bounce checks at this store. That's why we people are different. You know, these people act like you. We not have to show ID to cash a check. No, just here, just right. Write your name with a crayon on the back of this fucking piece of wood. That'll be good enough. Thank you very much. Christ almighty. I've been standing in a check stand before, counting a checker out so she could go home. We have money sitting out all over the check stand. Till sitting up there. There's 2 shopping carts with a phone cord tied through the 2 shopping carts to close this check stand off. And a customer will actually come up. Hello, are you open? You want to just look at the stuff and say, look, dick face, does it look like I'm... Yeah, I'm open, but I leave this shit here because I think it's funny to watch customers climb over and break their neck trying to get their groceries rung up. Yeah, I'm open. Jesus fucking Christ. This lady goes, I start bagging her groceries in a plastic bag, and she says, do you have bags? No, we don't, ma'am. That's why I'm putting this live chicken here. Yes, this is a bag. Oh, no, I wanted bags. Well, this is a bag, ma'am. No, I wanted the brown bags. Well, this is a brown bag. Why don't you just fucking come out and say you want a paper bag? Because I'm dense. Yeah, at least you speak English. Dense, but you speak fucking English, which is more than I can say for most of the fucking customers around here. And then the ones that have been born in this fucking country, it's like, yeah, do you take a Will Foggle card here? I'm sorry, sir. Do you take a Will Foggle card here? Why don't you fucking unglue your lips, man? I can't fucking... Yeah, let me get my lip out of the way now. You take a Will Foggle card here? Yeah, how about the people that stand in liquor for an hour and a half, and then they come through your check stand, all I want to get is this pack of gum here. Yeah, gee, it's 93 degrees out. I like the 6 jackets you're wearing. Enjoy the gin you just fucking stole, dick face. Criminy fucking A, man, you know? Isn't it a wonder...
In the words of Biff, people suck. People give people a bad name. People is more than a magazine. It's a word that stands for all that is at the root of pure evil. People leave a funny taste in your mouth. People burn the deeper pits of your stomach, rotting away that precious inner lining with acidic punctures of your space from their whiny nasal voices. But some people have nice, firm boobs, wear no bras, and swallow. And those described people make the rest of the people bearable. And now, here's Biff. You know, I was talking about people earlier, and I think that's really what the root of pure evil is. It's people. It's people in general. And I think because I work at Delta Gamma, and I see the lower side of life, the underbelly of civilization coming through the doors all day long, I think I start to get that pessimistic, cynical outlook on life because of people. I mean, Tom Wolfe was right. This is more than just the me generation. This is more than just looking out for numero uno. This is the fall of mankind as we know it, because no longer are people thinking about other people. They're thinking only about themselves, and any relationships that they have with other people are based on what they can get for themselves. And that is my philosophy, and I probably wouldn't have it if I was living in back east someplace and working in a mom-pa store where I knew everybody by name. But no, I'm working out here with the, I couldn't know these people's names if I wanted to. Half of them have no vowels in them. They're like 17 consonants in a row. It's like, what, you're looking for your package of film, or what's your last name? How the fuck do you spell that? They didn't develop your pictures, sir. They sent them back to the country you came from. If you want them, go back there and get them. For crying out loud. That's what the problem is. I work with these stupid idiots, too, so that not only am I dealing with stupid customers, I'm dealing with stupid employees. There's this one girl named Kelly. She's this overweight, very unattractive checker. She gets extra money going to the beauty salon and letting them guinea pig her head. She reminds me of the walrus in the Chilly Willy cartoons. But anyway, she has major problems. Which, like, for instance, someone will say, how much am I ordered? Well, that'd be $17.80. Okay, well, I don't have my money. I have to go out to my car and get my money. Okay, so she'll tender, cash tender, $17.80. Hold the receipt. The lady comes back. Here's $18. She calls me over and says, this lady left and came back with $18, and her order came to $17.80. What do I do now? And I said, well, what did you tender? I tendered $17.80. I didn't know how much money she was going to bring back. Well, she brought back $18. You owe her 20 cents. Well, how do you figure that out? Because I'm fucking subtracted $17.80 from fucking $18. How the fuck did you get behind the check stand taking people's money when you can't even fucking figure out a problem like that? Well, how do I put it into my till? How does the computer know that I'm entering the money? The computer doesn't know the lady came back. Well, how did you open your till? Well, I hit the cash tender button. Well, you've already tendered the cash. Then you don't need to fucking worry about if it's in the computer or not. Of course it's in the fucking computer. Try explaining it to these fucking airheads. There's this other guy that, this lady, she's got no tact at all. She's a couple that comes on a regular basis. Their daughter had killed themselves in a satanic ritual thing and took her brains. The people come through and she says, so how's things going? How's Jennifer? Oh, Jennifer took her life. Oh, yeah, I bet she blew her head off. Seriously, how's she doing? Seriously, she took her life. She killed herself. Oh, my God. She was pretty embarrassed. But, you know, it's just it's that kind of tact. It's that kind of people that I end up working with. You know, the worst one was the guy that I used to work with, who is now the manager of the property that I live on, whose mother is the landlady of the property I live in, and whose brother-in-law is the assistant manager at the store I work at. It's one of those family affair things, and they're always out to get me. They call me the fucking police because I'm using the fucking can opener after 10 p.m. They call the police because I hammered a nail into my fucking forehead. They don't give a shit. They call the police anytime they have a problem. One time they sent the police up because I was parking my car on my lawn to unload groceries. I had the front two tires on the lawn. Temple City police arrive and say, you know, it's against the city regulations. You can't park in your lawn. Well, I'm not parked in my lawn. Well, it's obvious that you're not parked in your lawn, but the neighbor complained. He was all upset. So I go back inside the house. The landlady's calling. She's on the phone. She says, I understand. Ricky tells me that you were parking on the lawn. A neighbor called the police. I said, yeah, which neighbor? Oh, Mr. Moffat, next door. I go to Mr. Moffat's house. He says, I ring, knock on the door. Mrs. Moffat answers, and she says, oh, Mr. Moffat, we had a heart attack. He's been in the hospital the last 5 days. So this is great. So I go back to the landlady and I call her back and I say, what's the problem? You tell me the neighbor complains and he's been in the hospital with a heart attack. She says, oh, so I lie. What the fuck do you want from me? You know, it's like I give up. So obviously, you know, Ricky, instead of walking 20 feet and talking to me, he decides he's going to just call the police every time he has a problem with me. It's
crazy, man. Then one day my wife looks out the window. She hears a woman screaming, and she thinks someone's in trouble. She looks out the window, and it's Ricky screaming, and he's bent over in the driveway with his pants down around his ankles. She's squirting her butt off with a garden hose, one of those nozzle attachments you use to take stucco off the side of a building with, and he is laughing gleefully. He stands up. They see her looking at them. They run around inside the building like two kids caught in the act. It was highly embarrassing. Hang on a second while a school bus approaches and interrupts this whole thing. Okay, the little fuckers are gone. You know, the worst thing about this guy is that he's a little mama's boy is a stutterer, and so you're always trying to finish his sentences for him. He gets a job as a security guard carrying a gun. Can't you see this one? Good God. Put those milk duds back or I'll shoot. You know, fuck. Hey, the guys will be gone with the milk duds before you know it. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. And then, you know, I think, you know, I'll tell you, I over the years of working at this fucking store, I've come up with basically what I think are the top 10 things that are heard by checkers at the supermarket. And we hear them all the time, so anyone who's a checker out there is going to totally relate to this one here. The top 10 things heard by checkers at the supermarket. Number 10, what's today's date? Number 9, I'm sorry, I don't speak English. Number 8, what you mean? I didn't steal nothing, man. Number 7, how much do I owe in food stamps? Number 6, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to tell you, I wanted paper bags. Number 5, I have the change, I know I have the change, it's in here somewhere, let me just paw through this bag for 6 hours and hold the whole fucking line up. Number 4, do you have a pen I can borrow? Number 3, no check guarantee card, but I have a Visa and I cash my checks here all the time. Number 2, if it doesn't scan, it must be free. And the number 1 thing heard by checkers at the supermarket, when are you gonna open another goddamn check stand? And that's pretty much the basic premise of it all. Old fucks can't take a fucking joke, if you know what I'm trying to say. So anyway, get your ass in the car, kids. That's all I can tell you. This is Biff, and I'll be back later to tell you some more of my problems. Is that done? I hope that holds that fucking asshole in Arizona. I don't know what the fuck you want.
Dun 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 dun. The story so far.
Come here. Sit down. I'm gonna talk to Scott and you can help me. Hi Scott, how's it going? This little impromptu cassette tape letter, and it's just me and Megan. Come sit down. Hi, girl. And we'll put the tape over right here, so if you want to say something to Scott, you can, okay? Mm-mm. Oh, well, alright, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can, okay? Okay. Well, where's Christopher at right now?
At school.
That's right, he's in school, and where's Mommy?
At work.
And Mommy's at work, and so it's just you and me, huh? That's right. And
at home.
We're at home. And we're talking to Uncle Scott. Can you say hi, Uncle Scott?
Hi, Dad.
Okay, she stuck her tongue out at you too, Scott. Anyway, listen, just tell you real briefly what's been going on around here. Hey, you guys got arrested the other day, didn't you? Remember when the police picked you up and brought you home? Yeah, it was about 6:30 in the morning, and they went for a little walk. They went down to the park, which is about 2 blocks away, right?
Yay!
You remember that, don't you? Went down to the park, and the sun wasn't even up yet. And you guys were down there, and the police picked you up and brought you back home. Knocked on the door, and we're like, fuck, who's that? Who's knocking on the door this early? Honey, it's the police, and our kids are under arrest. But anyway, and then I played a contest, that What's the Deal contest, which is similar to the Common Thread thing that I sent you in the mail. And the 3 songs they played were Bruce Springsteen's Thunder Road, Smoke on the Waters Deep by Deep Purple, and Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I was the first caller in as the 3rd song played, and I knew what the answer was before they even played the 3rd song, which was, as I said before, Smoke on the Water is Deep Purple. That was the 3rd song they played. I knew it was going to be
rock artists mentioned in other songs, because the first two songs, Roy Orbison and Springsteen and Neil Young and Sweet Home Alabama, and I said, fuck, I'm going to take a shot at it. I call in, and as I'm waiting on the phone, they start to play Smoke in the Water, and Frank Zappa's mentioned in that song, and I was like, I know the answer! And all of a sudden, hello, you're the caller! You've won the cheesy prize if you've got the right answer. Cheesy prize? Hey, you know what? I won tickets to a benefit concert with Jackson Brown, Bonnie Raitt, and Bruce Springsteen for the Christic Institute against all his political brouhaha. And, you know, my wife's never been to a concert. The only concert she ever saw was Big Daddy with Jay Leno. And then the next concert she saw after that was Jay Leno in Phoenix. And so she was really excited. It happened. I go, well, when's the concert? It's this Friday. Well, I never have Friday nights off, but that particular week I had a Friday off. I thought, this is going to be perfect. So my wife, I call her at work. She's ecstatic. She creams her panties, and she gets her nails done. We get all dressed up. We get a babysitter. Spend $25 on a babysitter for the evening, you know. Get the car all, everything's all taken care of. We go to the Shrine Auditorium, beautiful place. Concerts, an acoustical evening with Jackson Brown, Bonnie Raitt, and Bruce Springsteen. We get there, the mixture is yuppies with ties and kids and backpacks to, you know, the Bruce Springsteen wannabes with the headbands and the blue denim jackets, you know. I sat next to this, like, 300-pound dude, and he and his friends who sat in front of us constantly went, every intermission they'd go down to the wine counter and booze it up, and then they'd be late to the concert. So right in the like 5 minutes before the end of the next act, they'd show up, sit down, and then 5 minutes later, it'd be intermission, they'd leave again. So these people were up and down, and they were like, all right, Bruce Springsteen, awesome man, one man, one guitar, what a man, what a guy, what a sound. And like, oh God, give me a break. Anyway, this is how the concert was, and a rating of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. This was probably the worst concert I've ever seen in my life. They seated us up in the corner in the spider web section, and Jackson Brown came out, and it's like, you know, everyone's like, play Running on Empty, which he didn't do. He basically just came out and he had a guitar, an electric guitarist, and a drummer, and he played his piano, played a guitar, and sang unintelligible songs. We couldn't understand anything he sang. It was like, you know, and I hail the sun, go how do say I'm on the web, death and blood. They're like, what the hell is he saying? And then Bonnie Raitt came out, and she's like, well, I'm country western, and she sang country western. She was dynamite. And I hate country western. That's how bad this concert was. She said, the hell with this acoustical evening shit, you know. Put on the electric guitar, and she goes, let's jam, you know. My husband fucked a whore last night. And it was okay. Then Bruce Springsteen came out. This guy was terrible. He was no backup band, just himself. The audience was screaming, play Thunder Road, play Thunder Road, you know. And what does he plays these coal mining songs of the 30s, these bawdy folk tunes of the 1800s. I don't know, it's like, you know, I don't care how many girls you dated, you ain't had nothing till you had your tires rotated by a red-headed woman. You know, I'm like, what the hell? He's singing in country western. He's singing in a southern accent. He's from fucking New York. I'm telling my wife beforehand, this guy jams, man. He jumps off speakers. He plays for 3 hours, saxophones. No, an acoustical evening with a guy who finally gets to Thunder Road and forgets the lyrics. He stops in the middle of the song, goes, sorry guys, grabs some paper, shuffles them around, and then goes on singing. The audience, their reaction, awesome man, one guitar, what a man, what a sound. I was like, excuse me, I haven't seen my right arm in 2 hours. Could you kind of like scoot over a little bit, you 300-pound bozo? Anyway, my wife and I were putting toothpicks in our eyes to keep our eyelids open towards the end of the concert. It was really boring, and I was ashamed because I really like Springsteen, you know. I'm embarrassed. What happened? Oh, don't hurt yourself on tape. Okay, now I have to pretend like I'm the loving father. Come here, little boo-boo's goo-moo, come here, Scooby-Dooby. Oh, you gonna be okay? Are we? Tell Uncle Scott what happened. What happened? Get your bottle up. Tell Uncle Scott what happened. What happened? Oh, and what else? Okay, well, listen. Hey, you want to do some tricks for us? Can you count? Can you count for Daddy? Okay, can you say the alphabet? Oh, that's good. What's our dog's name? No, what's our dog's name? Oh, okay, goodbye. Anyway, when she gets this way, we just sort of like toss her aside, you know. Come here. Bring me the coat hanger, honey. Anyway, so much for babysitting. But, golly, what else has been going on besides that? And then we got home, my wife's like, I'm never going to another concert again. I'll tell you something else. I would never buy a Bruce Springsteen album, single, photograph, book, after seeing him in concert tonight, you know. What? What about mommy? You come here and say that to my face. What's the matter? Look, who's that? Is that Fiasco? Fiasco, come here, kitty, 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 kitty. Come on, don't cry. Uncle Scott's in Arizona. We went and visited him one time. Remember when we slept in that room on the floor?
Papa!
Yeah. Okay, come on, I know you're cranky. Anyway, she was up late last night and then woke up at 4 in the morning, bad dreams, had to, hey, stop that, and had to come sleep with mommy and daddy. It was like we had a babysitter one time, and I was like, you know, here's some tapes for the kids. They love Mary Poppins and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So what does she do? She puts on Poltergeist. We come home, they wake up at 2 in the morning, both kids wake up screaming and crying, you know, clawing at their face, mommy, daddy, face come off. All right, hey, look, I got to take a break for a second while I wind up my kid. Okay, hang on. Okay, I think things are settled down a little bit. But anyway, so things at work have been going pretty screwy, and Terry's been working a lot, and we have a babysitter come in every day that I have to go to work while she's at work, and usually it's just an overlapping period of a couple hours, so the kids are doing pretty good. She's so smart, and Christopher's enjoying school, and that's basically the boring Brady Bunch side of life right about there. But, hey, did you watch the big one? Ooh, I started stocking up on bottled water. I don't know about you guys out there in Arizona, but let's see. What else has been going on that's really of any interest? But anyway, so was your bottle good? What did you drink, milk?
Juice.
What kind of juice?
Apple juice.
Oh, orange juice. It wasn't apple juice. Why don't you have any apple juice right now?
Orange juice.
That's what you had. You had orange juice, right? Okay. But what did you, why didn't mommy want you to have apple juice?
I want orange juice.
Yeah, but why can't you have, why can't you have apple juice?
My caca.
Yeah. Diarrhea, that's right. That's right. That's good. Yeah. That's a good one. What are you doing? Don't touch the tape recorder. You know what you did? What did you do when you did that? Come on, stop that. You're a pain in the ass, you know that? You really are. I thought you'd sit there and talk to Uncle Scott, not sit there and sabotage his tape recording. Sabotage his tape recording? What are you doing that for, huh? Huh? Huh?
Oh. Oh. Woohoo.
Woohoo. Oh. So anyway, life with kids is fun, and someday maybe you'll have some of your own. I hope everything's going cool and okay for you guys out there in Arizona. You're always welcome to come out and visit anytime soon. Brandon keeps making trips. Shut up. Brandon keeps making plans to come out and everything, but then we won't come up with a list of... No, you let go. He won't come up with a list of like 30 people that could be possible customers for his business, so it isn't worthwhile for him to come out. You know, and I said, well, like, you know, you could come out just to visit, I suppose, but no, that's not in his mind at all. And anyway, make sure I tell you sometime about the story about how my car trunk caught on fire one morning. While my wife and I were sitting at the breakfast table, billowing smoke pouring out of the trunk. I may have told you the story, but if not, do remind me. But it's rather amusing. Well, anyway, this is a little Alpha Beta cassette that I was just wanted to record a letter to you on one side. I don't know what's on the other side. You can record something back and send it to me, and I'll get a... Whoa, careful.
Oh my God.
Christopher, your glass.
Stand up, Megan.
Maybe that's why you're slipping and sliding. Pizza's slippery when you step on it.
Ah!
Hey Megan, can you count for mommy?
4, 5, 3, 2, 7.
How old are you, Megan?
4.
You are not.
How old are you?
3.
No. How old are you?
That's right, you're 3.
Well, that made Christopher real happy. What are you doing, sweetheart?
Looking on pizza, sweetheart. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Megan, now I have some questions for Daddy. What's her doggy's name?
No.
What's her doggy's name?
It starts with Josh.
Christopher!
Four.
Megan, what's the dog's name?
Call the dog.
What's that dog's name? Megan, what's the dog's name?
Like that.
No, don't eat it.
Here, what's Duchess's name, Megan?
Yes.
Megan, what's Duchess's name?
Five.
Yeah, five.
No.
That's right.
She's counting.
And then you can do the alphabet too. A, B, C, D.
She really likes to eat too.
No, no. Oh, you brush your teeth today too, a good.
It's nature's way of saying something's wrong. This has been brought to you by a message for AIDS. Yeah, what did you think of that? The Crawford family sitting around the table, eating dinner or some such thing. Speaking of Crawfords, I just had a bunch of them out of my house recently. Out of the blue, they just called up, left a message on the answering machine, said they were coming the next day. Brandon came out in his car. My mom came out in her motorhome. They brought Brandon's wife and 3 kids, and we had a Mormon of a gala of a time, and they stayed about 5 or 6 days and left, and it was fun seeing my mom, and it was fun seeing the kids. Christopher and Megan enjoyed playing with them. I can't remember any of their names. They all begin with the letter K. Same thing that my dad did with me and Brandon and my other brother and my older half-brother, that we were all GBCs. Brandon is following the same footsteps. All his kids are girls, and they're all named KL names. Interchangeable, it doesn't matter. They're all Mormons, who cares? But anyway, they came out, and boy, Brandon, except for one thing. Every time I see Brandon, something major goes wrong with my car. The same thing happened this time. The fuel pump burst a hole, and we stayed up to like 4 or 5 in the morning while he fixed it, and I stood around and cracked dirty jokes. But I appreciated that. Other than that, the rest of the trip, I don't know what the heck he's doing. He's in a multi-level marketing program where he's not making any money. His family's on church welfare, and he just won't go out and get a real job because he doesn't want to work for the man, you know? He wants to be his own boss. I say, hey, man, homeless people are their own bosses, dude. Anyway, I had some room left on this tape, and I wanted to finish it up. As you can hear, I've had a cold the last week and a half, so I've lost my voice, and this is about as loud as I can get. I sound like Bobby Brady, you know? Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. So I wanted to finish the rest of this tape and just put some shit on it before I send it off to you. I hope you enjoy it. It was fun making it, and it's fun for me to listen to Megan over and over again. Other than the concert and the Crawford's coming out and the car breaking down and getting fixed again, which is just another endless cycle in the history of me and cars, nothing else has been going on, really. We're just getting ready for Christmas, and the kids are excited about your trip out. They're really looking forward to seeing their Uncle Scott. We keep telling them all about it, so we got the bed set up and ready. So, like I said, we'll be there to pick you up at the airport. Just let us know. Just give us that call. And, I listen to a lot of talk radio now, KFI, talk radio, Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
At 2 a.m., I tune in some San Francisco rebroadcast of shows like The Green Hornet and a great show called Box 13 with Alan Ladd. And every night at between 2 and 3, they play two old-timers, you know. Saturday nights are comedy, but I like the other stuff better, the suspense and the murder and the gangster dramas, you know. FBI and Dragnet and Gangbusters and Crime USA and... what's the other one? KOP, Crime File, Crime Journalist or something. I mean, these fly-by-night B-radio programs, horrible special effects, flubs and screw-ups. It's like dark shadows on the radio. They're very humorous, and I enjoy staying up and listening to them while I'm working on my projects and stuff. A show out of England called Desert Island Discs, in which they get these, you know, like, obscure artists sometimes. I was once the drummer for King Crimson and whatever, and they get to host the show and play what albums or songs they would like to have. It's an interesting show because they get these obscure musicians and some really popular ones too, interspersed with pop musicians as well, and these guys pick what songs influence them, and you get to hear the whole song. And I find it pretty interesting, you know. They got the guitarist from the Art Hendrix Experience and people like that, and these people dig up these great songs that I haven't heard. Obviously, they must have picked up the 45 when they were 13 or something, and they want to put it on this show when it's their chance to host the show. And sometimes I tape record the shows because it's a good way to get a hold of copies of songs. I don't think I'd have any other way of getting a hold of them. Anyway, fuck, this tape is still going. Let's see, work sucks. Today's the first day of Hanukkah. My cat still pees all over the fucking floor. Tomorrow Christopher's in a little Christmas pageant. I'm going to go and take pictures and see him up there singing Christmas time is the happiest time of all the year. Some stupid song like that. No, but I know you're looking forward to Christmas, and fuck, man, if I ever catch you under the mistletoe, babe, you're history, you know what I mean? Listen, I gotta go, right? I know this tape's gonna run out soon, but... And, some show is starting now. Which one is it? Green Hornet? FBI? Gangbusters? One of those shows is on right now, and I left my headphones inside the house. So, it's time to pack up Dave's tape recorder, put it back in the bedroom, leave the garage, and put this in the envelope and mail it off to you. Thanks for being my best friend. Without you, man, I'd be just this bald guy living out here waiting for the earthquake. And before I die, I want you to know, I've been a Mormon the last 4 years, and I've been afraid to tell you. But now that the end is near, I think I need to come clean and possibly convince you that if you pick up the Book of Mormon, which you can get free from any advertisement you find in the TV guide, that... if you read this book, you'll find that it's more than just bullshit. It's the truth, man. The truth as I see it at 2 a.m. in the morning in Smock Ridge, California. God, I love breasts. I really do. Just to hold them and fondle them and squeeze them and... you know, someday, if you're ever with a Girl Scout, you'll know what I mean. The equivalent of basically being in your mama's arms again, only this time, it's okay to have a boner, you know? I don't know. I can't understand how gay people can do it. Not that I'm saying you're gay or anything, because I'm not. I'm not saying you're gay, because, you know, you never made a pass at me, but you little devil, if you do, try it someday. Anyway, save it for Joe. Joe Evans, you know, Brandon asked me about Joe. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe is bi. And I said, shit, man, we all know he sucked your dick, Brandon, so don't even kid yourself, fuck. I said, hey, man, he's all buffed out. And Brandon's like, his ears perked up. Puffed out? You said he's puffed out? No, buffed out, Brandon. Does he still keep in touch with Scott? Are you jealous, man? Face it, Brandon. Scott doesn't like you anymore. You made him sneeze blood on my door when we were kids, and he has to live with this every single fucking day. And you write in fucking Books of Mormons and give it to his mother and embarrass him. But, you know, no, you still have to come by. And hello, buy a water filter, Scott? Mrs. Moody? God, poor guy. guy's out here trying to sell these water filters. He's a beaten man. He's just a beaten man. And I, this time I didn't fight with him. I didn't come down on him. I kind of was supportive of him and, you know, didn't embarrass and disgrace him in front of his wife and three little KL children. I gave him that get up and go. I said, man, can the filters. If you can't fucking sell these things and you can't feed your family, go get a fucking job. You know what I mean? Grab a pair of tongs and serve some Pioneer chicken up at $4 an hour if you have to. Quit being such a proud MF and get out there and feed these people. I mean, the kids, they were all like, food, please, food. I'm like, yeah, okay, say three Hail Satans and I'll give you a drumstick of this turkey. It's hilarious. But anyway, their kids are pretty cool. They're pretty cool. They all do drugs, and the parents don't know about it. But, you know, I don't want to be the one to break the illusion of the happy Mormon family. Hey, it's family night, everybody. Come on, gather around. It's family night. Okay, we're going to read scriptures. They came over to our house one night. Every night they sit down with their kids. They're going to read scriptures. You know, the one that my kids join them, it figures that's the night. You know, come on, kids. Uncle Brandon's going to read scriptures. He and Louise get into a fight over which passage to read out of which book, the Book of Mormon or the regular Holy Bible. And they get into this argument with lots of glares and daggers being sent back and forth with their eyes. And Louise gets up out of the room and leaves and slams the door. You know, the whole house reverberates. You like that? I didn't know I could fit the word reverberate into one of these cassettes, but goddamn, I did. Anyway, she slams the door and Brandon's like, you know, okay. And my mom's like, okay, read the passage, Brandon, okay? You just pretend like nothing's happening, you know? And so Donna Reed, Image of Life. And so Brandon, you know, he's like, you know, and then Noah bit the fucking witch. He's reading this passage with no enthusiasm. The kids by this time are in the other room coloring, you know? They're picking their noses. They are not interested. Uncle Brandon has bored them beyond belief.